Hey, Malcolm.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Communist Cuba. Oh my goodness, this is Pop Culture Stars. And this is North and South Carolina. Oh, my goodness. Well, I thought it was Communist Cuba. Now, you know,
wow.
Because as soon as Joe Biden decides to resign, we will have a lady who's going to be the president get lost in the very first round and never even got to get to a primary. So it will be President Kamala Harris, and this is Communist Cuba. And I'm going to tell you one thing. In four years, see if you don't see a damn Republican in office. That's what I've got to say.
Nikki Haley.
Dr. John? Huh?
I'm voting
this is Dr.
for Nikki
John,
Haley.
And welcome to Comic-Con.
4 years from now.
What?
I said Nikki Haley's going to be the next president of the United States.
Well, let's hope. She's a peach. But anyway, it's so good to have everybody here until they shut us down, because that's what communists do. They shut people down.
That's exactly right.
And you know what? This is a free world, and apparently Donald Trump didn't say it loud enough. We're all going to get shut down, and you better go hide all your shit and get it out of the banks. They'll close the banks down, too. You better watch out. Everybody got what they wanted. So anyway, but I didn't. I wanted to see a free market and everything. But anyway, it's good to have all of my buddies friends here. And so let me go around the room and say hello to everybody. Hello to everybody.
Somebody mute the TV in the background.
Now, Dave Atwell, you were late, so I'm going to introduce you first. How are you doing tonight?
I was late because I was hunting for my lighter, for my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars. Actually, it's pretty damn good.
From what country? Now, what country is your...
Is it a Cuban?
it's a Honduran, so you got a little bit more rowing to do. But it's...
That's
glorious. And these things are pretty damn special. They're not bad at all. Good taste. A little heavy, but I like a heavy throw. And damn good cigar. But, yeah, ain't that the truth. That was about 25 years ago.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad to have you as usual. And
I got to get as close to Fidel Castro as I can with the cigars now, since we're
going
into
And the Amazing Velvet, I think, was the next person that came on. How are you doing, Amazing Velvet?
We have to learn to speak Ruski. We're all going to start talking like Ivan Koloff and Nikita Koloff. Oh my God! You know, I agree with Dave. The first person who cries or whines and pisses and moans, you the jackass who voted for this. You're stuck with it. Shut up.
Nope. Stuck with it.
Damn. Own it.
That's right.
If you screwed up, own it.
That's exactly right. Well, we're glad to have you here from beautiful, sunny Ravenel, South
Carolina,
I believe.
That's right, baby. Ravenel.
Ravenel. That's right. All right. And then formerly from the Eye in the Sky in Indianapolis, who voted for the president, now we have Todd Saxon. How are you doing, Todd?
I am outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here and looking forward to a morning where we won't have frost tomorrow morning because he's been kind of brisk. Holy smokes.
Wow, that's a great person. Not anything political.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, you know, you don't yell, scream, shout. I'm just kind of maybe bummed that at least at this point I haven't had to use any ammo. Damn.
I know, right? Me neither. I'm out in the country. They ain't coming this far out.
Too much like
and,
work.
And I better check on something
That's
before
funny.
I say hello to our last two friends for the evening. DJ AA. Let's see what the guy jumps.
I can't hear you.
I can't either.
Uh-huh. So let's see. Oh, yeah.
You there?
So it looks like the Dow Jones is up 71 points. So, you know, so we're sitting there staring down, losing 50% of our 401ks, and the market's going up. Now, how crazy is this? We all need to change the country.
It's going to go up, and then it's going to crash like hell. Watch.
Yeah. And they'll blame it on Trump.
Yeah, everything's going to be blamed on Trump. It will.
Yeah, exactly right. But anyway, so we're glad everyone's here. And now I think the first person that came on tonight was Tim. How are you doing? I hope you're having your vodka and Diet Coke and hanging out on the porch and getting ready for a rousing evening of complaining about the election.
Dang, you called it, man. I didn't have to introduce myself at all. Yeah, I'm trying to think positive here. I haven't been staring at the TV, but it's been on, and the wife's been glued to it, so I'm kind of glad to get away from that a little bit. Don't mind discussing it or hearing about it. Just glad to. No, not at all. I'm just glad I'm not staring at the TV, because it's like, shit, they're not giving any updates anyway. It's not like anything's been happening for the last several hours. So, nice.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's nice enough. It's actually, I don't know what the temp is right now, but we've been seeing 70-degree weather. So on a positive note, I am out here on the porch and just ready for a good show.
I have a question or a statement.
Now, Mr. Velvet, if you can wait, let me introduce our last friend here, and then you can ask a question. How's that?
All right.
He almost called Malcolm a gentleman.
That's exactly right. And he gets introduced last because he came on last. Malcolm, how are you doing tonight?
Can you guys hear me? I'm just curious.
We can.
You can hear me. Okay. I think there's something wrong with this stupid cell phone. I'm having a good time. I'm getting to know Dave's friend Adam's dog. Me and him are, you know, he was real timid around me. But he's like my best friend now.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice having a.
Cool.
His name is Doc Holliday. Hey, Doc, you're a star. And he's got a pet cat named Oki. Oki likes to jump up on top of the TV stand to get away from Doc Holliday to eat his food.
Nice.
Well,
so Doc Holliday,
Holliday's my buddy. Yeah, I'm sharing I shared my spare ribs with him from the Chinese food we had the other night.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
And I'm sure he loves you. All right, well, let's get going here from downtown Havana. Pop culture stars, communism style. Watching for you.
Stupid.
They may not even
But I want to pose something. I want to pose something to everybody. Now, everybody's talking about, come on, get out and vote, get out and vote, get out and vote, right? And you got someone one side to say, well, your vote doesn't count, or someone the other side says your vote counts. Well, it was proven that your vote doesn't count because, first of all, if you did a paper ballot and sent it in through the U.S. Post Office, you don't work for the post office, okay? So if your paper didn't get there on election day or by election day, then it wasn't counted in certain states, 6 of them to be exact. Okay, wait a minute. I don't work for the post office. So how is that fair to anybody? I don't care what side of the fence you're on. It's not fair to anybody. So therefore, your vote doesn't count.
It was saying there were something, okay, well, you know, one of the things that tends to get beat up pretty bad are a lot of the military absentee ballots across the board, and that's,
right.
You know, the people civil service outside of the states, and that's fairly unfortunate, too, but that's just, you know, I mean, that's, business process thing or something that somebody's got to, you know, I mean, what do you do?
Here's the thing. We got enough technology in this country to fix the problem. I'm sorry.
I agree.
You can go digital. It could also be something to where you have to, you only get to do it one time. You log into a special site. You scan in your ID. You vote. When you're done, you scan your ID. It goes away.
You don't need your ID.
It says you vote.
Yeah.
But you don't need your ID now.
I understand, but what I'm saying is you scan the back of your ID in this thing.
I think that, you know how they do the motor voter registration in some places? Why wouldn't they do that, say, with your tax return?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But just to let you know now that if Biden's in, Obamacare is not going to be free for everybody. Just going to let you know.
Yeah.
If you can't afford it, well, listen to this. If you can't afford to get Obamacare, okay, and you don't make enough money, and so you don't have insurance, you get fined, and they take your tax money. Wait a minute. I'm already paying taxes. How are you taking my tax return? That right there should be illegal.
Yeah. And if you can't afford the insurance, how are you going to afford a fine?
Most people don't even comprehend how much they pay in taxes.
Well, I get that, but, I mean, you know what? There's so many amendments to the Constitution, they got to stop that. That's, you know what? Right is right and wrong is wrong, period. Every day and every Sunday. I'm sorry. Right is right and wrong is wrong. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. You know? It ain't right.
Does everybody realize that we're going to have no police and the military's going to be gone? Does everybody realize that?
I'm going to ride down the middle of the street with a six-shooter on my horse. Listen, if you run and you turn your back, I gladly shoot you in the back, too. I don't care.
As long as you're within the property markers, guess what? You're still defending. And
exactly.
That's my thing.
What you and the Constitution think do not matter now.
Yeah, I want to hear what Dave has to say now. Come on, give him a second.
Okay.
There's so much about this that has me scratching my head because I went and I visited my folks yesterday, and my dad wasn't feeling too hot, so he stayed upstairs and gave me a little time just to speak one-on-one with my mom. And I told my mom, I says, I'm not programmed as a conservative. I am not bred as a conservative. I'm a 50-year-old man with my own scar tissue, my own mistakes, my own successes. And I can make my own mind up 99% of the time. Okay? So if liberalism worked, then I would do it, okay? And I told her, if you were going to beat a nail into a board, which end of the hammer do you use? And she says, the metal end. And I says, right. I says, why is that? And she says, because it wouldn't work with the other end. I says, exactly my point. I says, the governor of Illinois signed on last week or the week before for full-term abortion, and I'm not going to be the guy that yanks the Bible out from under the seat and starts waving it in the air. That's not me.
Right.
But you will find that most people who support full-term abortion are against capital punishment. And
there is something ironic there.
Right. So if you have somebody, and I understand abortion, there are certain circumstances where if it's a danger to the mother, rape, incest, that kind of stuff. But it has to happen today. It has to happen 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Who out there supports a doctor or a person that will carry a child for 9 months and allow it to be extinguished? Okay, this is a real busted individual to do something like that. All right. So what does that have to do with Joe Biden winning the election? Is the fact that that's part of their ticket. And the real scary thing is that we keep saying Biden, Biden, Biden. Joe Biden is a patsy. He is,
of course, for the party. Exactly.
He is a muppet. And
of course,
once he doesn't push the progressive, the AOCs of the world, when he doesn't push their agenda, they will find a way to eliminate him by hook or by crook.
Yeah, try to keep those knees for him.
And
he
then
will,
who becomes your president?
It's Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris becomes your president.
I call her Kamala. She looks like the Ugandan giant. Like,
I'll do the belly flap.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But, you know, she doesn't have any more expertise in leadership.
Listen, she has zero.
Than
all right, come on.
And,
well,
you know, all the things that go in and the socialism piece. You know, I told my mom, I said, it's amazing how people like LeBron James or Taylor Swift is another perfect example.
Yeah,
okay.
What a dipshit.
He is a direct beneficiary of a capitalistic economy. Okay?
Absolutely.
How many pop stars?
How
many pop stars are coming out of Germany? None. How many basketball
scorpions
in Germany, in Italy, you know what they do? They watch Monday Night Football. You want to know why? Because there's no effing football anywhere else but the United States. And why
exactly.
is that we have that here? Is because we have a capitalistic economy. So I don't need LeBron James, who just bought a $27 million house.
But here, wait a minute. Go ahead.
The whole socialism thing to me is just befuddling, because if people just actually dug a little deeper, and I know what the people are thinking, oh, man, I get a bunch of free shit. No, it doesn't work like that. You will be issued things, and being issued stuff is not free stuff. When you go into the core, Todd, you are issued what? You're issued skivvies, you're issued damn utilities, or better yet, your utilities. When they issue your skivvies, they ain't built for comfort.
Nope.
Because they're issued.
Malcolm knows.
Right.
Yep.
That's
why I left.
It's just numbing how people are just so complacent and so uninformed and not willing.
I don't understand how. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. If not, I'll talk for next 3 days.
I just don't understand. I'm with you. I don't understand how somebody who's worth X amount of millions of dollars wants to just give away their money freely to the government, where it's going to go nowhere but in their pockets. It ain't going to fix the deficit. It ain't going to fix anything else. It's not going to help suffice the needs of the country. You're going to give 60% of your hard-earned money freely to this government, who's going to squander it some way, shape, or form, or just pocket it. Hello? Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, fine. I can ride down the street and throw my paycheck out the window every week if you want me to. It's the same shit.
I'll tell you what. If they're going to take away the police and they're going to take away the military, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to build myself a searchlight, and I'm going to shine it up in the sky. I'm going to call on Malcolmania. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I love it.
We needed that. Thank you for that, sir. We needed that. You're right. We're getting a little too out of control there.
Let me go back to one of the earlier points. I got to throw this out there. Dave was spot on. I've said it for many decades about the people that are pro-abortion are actually, generally speaking, against capital punishment, and just I don't think that sinks in hard enough on a lot of people, but let me talk about pro-abortion crowd anyways. How many people that are pro-abortion, how many of their mothers were pro-abortion? Just asking.
Yeah, good question.
That is a good question, right?
Yeah. There's a wonderful feeling when you find out that your mother really didn't want you, but she had you because she felt like she had to do it or she couldn't find somebody that, you know, to take care of it. Oh, God. You want to talk about a badge of honor. Oh, hell, Mom, yeah, shit. Mother's Day cards in the mail.
Right.
It's just, for me, it's just such a, the whole thing is such a head-scratcher, and I don't – I'm not going to tell anybody they're wrong for how they feel. That's what makes America a wonderful thing is that when we built this country, we were running from a monarchy that told us how to live.
Right.
And the whole idea behind the revolution, you know, the whole idea was to live free, but live responsibly free.
Right.
Okay. And so many people have lost
but
respect.
But then we got it our own way.
And I just, for me, I just, if I didn't think it was going to affect me, I'd be tickled to death just to sit back and watch it all go to hell and just say, hey, there's your bed. Lie on it. Make a damn to me. Like the Cowboys signing this big contract to Dak Prescott. And I'm going, guys, I don't know. Next thing you know, it's Michael Jackson. I'm going, hey, I will.
Well, he didn't sign one, so that was a good thing.
Yeah. So now.
Well, you know what? But, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Go ahead. My bad.
Sorry, you're good.
I agree with some of my family that with everything that's been coming out with Hunter Biden and the laptop, the FBI, the Clintons. You know what? Some of these people should be hung for treason. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm with you.
You know, it's a huge problem. You know what? It's time to be responsible as we grew as a country. We got in our own way every step of the way because we got greedy and greedier and greedier. You know, everybody's hands in the cookie jar on both sides of the fence, on both sides of the aisle. All right, we already know this. But here's the thing. Good doesn't work without evil. If we were all good, we'd be all scratching our heads going, what are we going to do today? Okay, get that point too. But this is going a little bit too far because some of these things shouldn't be going on today at all. So, I mean, it's a head scratcher. We got to leave, like for me, I have children and I have younger cousins. When I'm gone, they got to deal with all this crap, the aftermath. I mean, Obama sent us back 50 years. Unless and Harris going to send us back 200 now? Come on, man.
And they're out there rioting right now. They're out there burning and protesting. And I'm going, you guys are winning. Why? We locked up the cops. We tore down the statues. We run Trump off. Why are you still burning shit?
Because that's what they want. They want anarchy so we can get in line, so we'll fall in line. But guess what? They don't want you, me, and the rest of these people on this panel to have a free-thinking mind. We can't have a mind. We have to be sheep. We have to follow. You know?
Yeah.
They don't want that.
And
they want you to, hey, I'll throw $100 at you if you go throw a rock in that window.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
And Tim mentioned something about the military, okay? Let me go ahead and explain something to you about the military. If you don't think that the United States, if you were to poll or you were to just randomly ask people around the world, there's two ways of looking at Americans. You either love us or you hate us.
Correct.
Okay? Because everybody hates the winner, all right? So 300 years ago, the damn British were kicking everybody's ass in. When the Spanish Armada was floating around, you want to know who everybody was gunning for? The Spanish Armada, because they were the baddest damn naval system in the world.
Yep.
So if you don't think that other countries are gunning for us, you're wrong.
They're just waiting for the opening. Okay. Yeah, they're just waiting for the opening. That's all they have to do. That door opens just enough, they're going to kick it in.
And I wonder why Canada and Mexico doesn't back us up, because you want to know why they're still Canada and Mexico? It's because the goddamn United States borders them. Okay?
Exactly.
And the United States falls. Who's on top now? Who's the one that's protecting? Who's the one that's sending you all this money and aid around the world? The amount of money that we send around the world to these other asshole countries who burn our flags, okay? Those places right there, that money should go back into the damn pockets of the veterans, the homeless,
yep. Yep.
and the first responders, and everything yep. else. But no.
What happened, all those 10 pallets of money that when Saddam Hussein got killed that we discovered that was our money that we gave them, 10 pallets of money, where's that money at? That could have fixed our deficit. That could have fixed the homeless, the veterans. Where'd that money go? Oh, it got reburied, didn't it? Yeah, it's still there.
And if somebody comes back over here, and as I've said about World War II plenty of times, you know, everybody always hears the same thing about World War II. They go through and they hit. It's kind of like Black History Month in the schools. They talk about the same half dozen black people, and I'm like, they don't need to do that. They need to integrate that into the American history throughout the year.
Correct.
Okay. Well, same way with World War II. The only time we talk about World War II is from 1941 to 1945. And some random BS in the middle, and that's it, right? We pick it up in Normandy. What we don't tell everybody is that the Nazis were running over the world. They were kicking Russia's ass. They were kicking Britain's ass. They were already all up in France, Denmark, Italy, okay? Spain, of course, was sitting over there fanning their balls and playing the neutral thing, but in the meantime, they were making ammunition and armament for the Nazis because they were fascists, but they were neutral fascists, okay?
Right.
What do you honestly think would have happened to the world? And when I say the world, that includes the United States. What do you think would have happened to this world?
We'd have been speaking German.
Well, okay, and that's a thought. But when Hitler ran out of Jews, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Holocaust did happen. But when he ran out of the Jewish faith, he would have moved on to another. And before
you know it,
if you don't have blonde hair or blue eyes, you'd have been in a world of shit. And people,
you'd have been dead.
Yeah, and they don't think about it. And I'm like, you want to know why Hitler didn't win? Because of us.
Exactly.
And
he put the pinch on him. You know what?
Yeah.
But he didn't die in World War II. I hate to be the spoiler.
Oh, no,
he did not die.
He got out of there. Yeah. He got out of there.
Go ahead.
We already knew that Mengele died in Brazil of a stroke when he was like 70. He was sitting on the beach and had a stroke when he was 11. No. Hitler made it out of there.
Look
up Colonia Dignidad if you don't believe me.
Oh no, I do. I'm a history buff. I followed the whole trail. But it's amazing that they say these things. But go ahead.
No, I'm just if and has anybody looked at the cabinet? They're actually talking about Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren being Secretary of the Treasury? Holy Jesus.
Oh, God.
And then Bernie
We're
is talking about Secretary of Commerce or something like that.
Oh,
and,
we're screwed.
Yeah, and the whole time I'm thinking, jumping Christ, man. Of course, Biden, to his credit, and I shouldn't say to his credit, he doesn't even realize what the hell's happened. I bet you that man has no idea how peril he's in right now. And I'm sure his wife does, because every time you see her, she has this busted look on her face.
Yeah, but you know what? She has nothing she can do. They're telling her, stand there, smile, and shut up.
Yep, or else you'll be next.
They know what's coming. He's gonna be deemed incompetent to run the country, and Kamala Harris will be the president. We're going to be screwed. You know, we're going to have all these crazy people. They're probably going to put Kanye West on the damn cabinet. Along with Cardi B and her stupid ass.
When you buy a house or a car and the value of the car, you have to pay half of the value of the car in taxes. Oh, and you can't afford to buy a house, which is part of the American dream, buying your own home.
Yep. Yep.
When you can't afford it, not because you can't afford a mortgage payment, because you can't afford the tax on that house you have to pay every year. Okay? And they will take your home, folks, if you don't pay your housing tax. That's just not my rule. Nevertheless.
But they want that. See, that's how they want these things. They want you to default on everything. They want to own it all. They want to keep you kept so you fall in line. How do you make that happen? You divide and conquer. That's what they're trying to do to the American people. They're trying to divide and conquer so that they can stay in control and keep us at bay. The ones that have a mind. The rest of them are going to be followers.
Well, they damn sure done it this year.
You know what? Keep drinking that juice. I hope it kills your ass.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We are at the bottom of the hour, and I would like to introduce you to the Dave and Velvet show.
All right. Come on, buddy. Come on, Todd. All right. Dr. John, let's get to the real reason why we're here. Come on, Dr. John. Take us to a different place.
The real reason we're here is to talk about what we're talking about right now. And I think we're doing a great job, because everybody better realize whatever you got, you better find it and you better hide it before January the 20th.
Yep. Put it in your prison wallet.
Mm-hmm. You better watch out, because I'm going to tell you what, they'll come get you.
No, I see that happening anyway. Because anybody who runs their mouth, they're going to gun for first.
Yeah.
I mean, just the truth. They hear this podcast, they're going to go, well, there's a guy named Todd, there's a guy named there's a guy named Velvet.
And there's a guy that said, welcome to Havana, Cuba.
Exactly. I mean, you know,
people will start disappearing off the streets.
But it's sad. You know what? It's so sad that we've come to this in such a, I say a short time, but it probably a little longer than 100, a little less than 100 years. But in less than 100 years, we have totally, completely screwed this thing and gone to hell in a handbasket really quick in the last 50 years. So, I mean, you know, it's my mother-in-law's funny. My mother-in-law said, well, if Trump don't win, I hope he comes back in 4 years. Hell with that. I'd rather see Nikki Haley run for president. She's got way more gumption than anybody up there. Why do you think she quit?
Trump is going to be resigning on the 19th of January, letting Pence have the reins, and so that Pence can pardon him. Otherwise, he's going to put Trump into jail on the 21st of January.
They're not going to put him in jail. They should put the whole Biden family in jail. What are you talking about?
But they're not going to do it. He's the president now.
Whatever.
That's what everybody doesn't realize. Instead of complaining, we better be getting out of here. This place is going to become scary. We're
going to
have no military. We're going to have no police. And Antifa is going to run this country. So everybody better get used to it, and you better figure out what to do, and you better go buy a couple of guns,
because
you won't be able to buy a gun on the 21st of January.
I got my guns. I got mine. I just got to go stock up on some more ammo, build my fence, and get that spotlight. I'll be like in a deer stand. I'm picking them off.
Well, if you're trying to buy 5.56 right now, good luck. Me and Rob have been trying to find 5.56. We went to a gun show last weekend and picked up some and paid a little more than we wanted to. But again, you know, but the bad news is eventually you run out of bullets. And you can't defend.
Letting people, what they're going to do is the price of bullets is going to go up, because they're going to stop people from doing reloading and reloads. That's exactly what's going to happen. So then you have to go somewhere to get ammunition and pay premium price. You know, that's exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a buddy of mine. He's got about three AR-15s, and he and I were looking at a WASR AK-47 about 5 years ago, and both of us kicked ourselves in the ass that we should have bought them when we had the opportunity, and we didn't. So we're like, what the hell? But, you know, I mean, I'm not a big AR fan, but it's all right. You know, I'd rather have I got plenty of guns. I mean, I got stuff that some people don't even have. I'm not going into that.
Here's the question I would like answered. If they're going to get rid of the police and get rid of the military, then who's going to come take our guns?
Ain't nobody going to come take your guns. Even if they kept it around. First of all, I would like to see any government official deemed by the president to go to Texas and take the first Texan's gun. If he can get a gun out of a Texan's hands, then he might be able to get mine. But I doubt that either.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. There are some places around here in Onslow County that, no, you don't dare.
Exactly.
North Carolina. Yeah.
I'm just saying, that just makes no sense. You know what? That right there is the least we need to worry about for right now. We just need to pay attention to what's going on and what's going to be happening through Christmas going into January. We really have to keep our eyes and our ears open and see how this is going to shake out, because we have to be ready. I mean, we really do. We have to be ready for whatever happens.
I can't understand these guys that are working for the election board, like in Georgia, where they said they were going to quit counting at 10:30 and then come back at 8 in the morning. And I'm going, wait, guys. And Todd, you could chime in on this one, man. I'm sure you pulled duty enough times in the Marine Corps, okay? I know managing retail stores, you get one phone call, hey, this guy's coming to your store tomorrow, and guess what? You're working a 25, 30-hour shift.
Exactly.
You have no choice.
I've been there and done that.
For the moment.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I won't mention any names here, and I'll use this for an example. I know somebody on this panel who, when they are on family vacation, make sure they make arrangements that they are getting notifications of what's going on at work, if they have anything work-related, and they've taken their work equipment with them to ensure that they can do things if need be. That's while they're on vacation. I think it really kind of sort of speaks to partially to work ethics and stuff like that. But I know too, and I'm just going to throw this out at a certain point. Let me give the other side of the coin here. I'm pretty good at grinding. But I know at a certain point I can only grind so far when my effectiveness starts to be impacted. And there's got to be a bit of a break.
Every holiday season, what do we do every September? We started hiring on people for the holiday traffic, right?
Correct. Yep. Correct.
So we have an election every 4 years. I'm not asking you to pull a long day every day. I'm asking you to pull a long day one time 54 effing years, okay?
Oh, yeah. You would think that these folks could do that.
Correct.
I mean,
there'd be manpower.
Correct.
These people are going to crack. Because some of these days, I'm just throwing it out there, and I know there are people like that. That's, I guess, what I was kind of going at partially because somebody's willing to do that on vacation and do some of those things, so make those calls while they're on vacation, discuss work-related things, stuff like that, because of their work ethic.
Oh,
work
I got it. That's my beeper. I got the rope. No. I got to make another phone call. I got to find a payphone.
Oh, God. Now,
for
those who
that buzzing and something else.
That did. It kind of reminded me of an old school beeper.
That's what I said. I got a beeper. I gotta find a payphone to make that phone call. You want a quarter bag or you want a dime bag?
Oh Lord.
My name's Hunter.
Hey, listen. Hey, I remember when four fingers was $40, not $400. Okay.
When I was growing up, where I went to school, if you were caught with a pager, you got suspended because, well, if you had a pager, it meant you were in business,
yep.
And it was a wrong business.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a guy that we looked exactly alike. We both had the mullet. We both had the same build. And he quit school in seventh grade. And when we got to when the rest of us got to high school, this boy bought, at 17 years of age with no license, okay, no driver's license whatsoever, he walked up to the Lincoln Mercury dealership and bought a Lincoln Town Car for $8,000 straight cash, brand spanking new. Do you think anybody said anything? Hell no, they didn't. They took the $8,000 and threw the keys out of it. So his dad got the insurance on the car, but to this day, he's the same age I am at 53, does not have a license, still drives. And a funny thing was, he'd go to school, he'd come up to the high school, you know, park his Lincoln out front, and that meant business was ready. He'd go around and make his rounds around school and sell his dope and roll out and then pick us up after school, right? Well, I'd come to late school one morning, and I'd be bopping through the hallways, and they said, Mr. Jimmy? You know you're not supposed to be on school property. I turned around and said, this is Mr. David, and I'm late for class. And they were like, oh, my bad.
Wow.
And we looked exactly alike, man. It was so funny, man. It was great.
I tell you, that's
I just
scary.
Had to throw some humor in there. It was, it's true, though. They used to pick on us all the time.
It's like an evil twin having a more evil twin.
Right? Oh, yeah. Dude, let me tell you something. I used to be so freaking fast, they couldn't catch me. Now, we had a showbiz pizza place that before it became Chuck E. Cheese, or as I call it, Ricky Rat. But we had showbiz, and God bought us pizza within the same, probably, we had one side of a complex was the Godfather's Pizza, and then on the other side of the complex was showbiz. Well, between the two, there were woods that backed into an apartment complex. Well, when people would throw out their furniture and anything else, we'd go take it and stick it in the woods. We had a buck stove in the winter in the woods with furniture and carpet. And that's where we'd party, get drunk, get high, right? Well, we would see the cops coming because they're stupid. They'd have their lights on, their flashlights. Right? And we'd all say, meet back here in an hour and a half. And we'd all scatter like ants. Well, I used to make fun of them. I used to run around on one leg until they got close. And they go, what are you doing that for? Because you ain't never going to catch me, fat boy. Run. And they would chase me and they'd pass out. I had one cop pass out. He was chasing me. He was running. I'd run through everywhere. Then I'd come back around the corner and be behind him. He didn't see me. I'd go, hey, I'm behind you. He turn around, start running again, fall down. I'm like, oh man, I gave you an opportunity to catch me. They hated me, man. They hated me. Then they found out what my name was, and I said, yeah, I got to stop doing that dumb shit. But they can never run me down, man. They were like, I used to train for football. I used to have a kid. Well, this is how I called it training. My little brother's best friend used to steal my bicycle from the yard, and he'd be two blocks away, and he'd yell, I got your bicycle. Now, this cat's on a bicycle, and I'd run him down on foot. I'd catch him. He goes, you are too damn fast. I said, hey, I want my bicycle back. But
where did
you
go,
man? For? I mean, that's...
Where did you go?
Huh?
Where did you go, Forrest? Where did you go?
Oh, yeah. So run, Forrest, run. Shit, they hated playing football with me. They were like, shit, we ain't catching him. They'd quit halfway down the pipe running after him. He'd let him score the touchdown. We're getting the ball back.
All right.
Let
me throw something out there. The
okay.
Where are you at on that project with tuning that organ?
Okay. Well, the one we did, I don't know if you saw the pictures. I probably have to send them out to y'all. But that one organ that we were doing has if you're in the sanctuary, the organ itself, where the pedals and the keys and all are, or if you're in the church or on the right side of the altar and the pipes are directly in front of it, there's pipes above it, but they're fake. And then it has another little organ with pipes on it. When you come into the sanctuary, it'll be above your head when you walk in. And it's got its own little separate organ, but the main organ can play them all. So anyway, on that, we came into, funny you asked that, we came into a little bit of a problem. We had to get a small ladder that was bendable, or a flex ladder, one of them construction ones that you can move around and kind of shape it, because
right.
where the pipes were, we had to take, I guess the diameter of the big base pipes were like 10 inches wide all the way around. It's these huge pipes for base. And we had to pull them out, and each individual one weighed about 30 pounds. And we had to pull them down, and I was underneath the guy on the ladder, and he's handing them down to me. He goes, hey, these are heavy, but stick it and lean it on the wall. I went, okay, he lets go of it. I went, holy crap, that is heavy. Anyway, so he's up there with this little tiny stick. So when I played the organ, and I had to hold the note, he had to use a little tiny stick to stick inside some of these things, and some of them have holes in the middle of them so you can tune it and move the thing around inside of it. But sometimes you just got to reach down there. It's got a hook. Well, he was doing that, and he goes, there's something inside this pipe. And I said, okay, what's going on? He goes, keep playing it. I'm playing it. And it's all air-based, so everything in those things is – air pumped through it by this big old compressor. Started just flipping around. We heard, like, I've never heard that before. He goes, I haven't either. So he had to pull this piece apart. And as he pulls it apart and he goes to hand it to me, freaking dead rat falls out of it. Right? And I went, how the hell that something doesn't get in there? He goes, I don't know. He goes, it had to crawl a long way to get to this pipe. But it was, every time I hit the note, it was flipping around in there. It was, you know, the air is trying to blow through it to make it sing, and that thing just flipping around in the tube going.
God, crazy.
So I'm like, oh my God, that was so flipping funny, man. I'm like, okay. So what now we had to do, now we want here is the really funny part. Okay, we get it all put back together. But he goes, you know what? We have to do something to keep this from happening again. And I said, okay. And I started thinking about things. I said, what's he going to do to keep that from happening again? He goes, get my toolbox and hand it to me real quick. So I give him his toolbox, and he's digging around. And he goes, oh, no, it's under here. And he pulls it up. Pulls a pack of knee-high stockings out, and he puts them over the tubes. Sure, rats can't get inside the daggum thing. But it's funny, like if you don't put the knee-high all the way down, and you leave like a little tip, you know, and you hit the note, it'll flutter in the air, and it looks funny, man. He's like, no, I got to. He goes, we can't leave that just in church.
gentlemen, we have Steve from Richmond, Virginia,
oh,
Professor Wrestling, and he's got a wrestling update. Let's let him in here for a few minutes, okay?
Hey, yeah,
Steve,
how you doing?
Tonight.
Good, just listening in. Wanted to comment on a couple things before tonight's show ended. Full Gear pay-per-view is this on Saturday on the 7th. Looking forward to that. Adam Page versus Kenny Omega in a contendership matchup. Winner gets a world title match. Cody versus Darby for the TNT title. FTR versus Young Bucks for the tag team titles. Moxley versus Eddie Kingston in the world title match. It's an I Quit match, so should be definitely a violent, exciting matchup. Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara in a deletion match. That should be pretty violent as well. Sheeta versus Nyla Rose. Jericho versus MJF. MJF wins. He joins Jericho's group, the Inner Circle. Orange Cassidy versus John Silver in a singles match. And Serena Deeb versus Allison Kay for the NAW Women's World Championship. That should be a good card this Saturday. And then I wanted to comment on last week. There was a NXT UK title match with Walter, Ilya Dragunov, and Walter successfully retained the NXT UK championship against Ilya with the referee stoppage during his submission. And it was definitely one of the most brutal matches this year. It might have been one of the most brutal matches in WWE history. So I definitely recommend checking that out if anybody gets a chance. But, yeah, that's my brief update.
Well, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. Everybody catch that? Did you get your notes written down so you know what to go check out? Say yes, and we'll go on.
That's a lot to take in. I'm still taking notes.
Yeah, I think you can catch Full Gear on Fight or Bleacher Report.
Oh, on Fight. Oh, boy. I hear Fight is an up-and-coming television network.
Fight's been around a little bit.
NAWA
might not be around much longer. That's okay.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, Velvet, you were just talking about that rat, the pipe organ. I got a quick story for
so
you.
Funny.
Now, you guys, we're all pretty much old enough to remember the kicker speakers. You remember that in the 90s when everybody was getting the kick?
Oh, yeah. The subwoofers. Yes. Everybody had them.
Yes. I personally can't stand it. With being deaf in one ear, that thumping hurts. It's actually painful.
Yeah, it,
you know.
I bet.
And there's so many people out there aspiring to be like me and deaf in one ear that they play these things in small compact.
Well, that's Paul Stanley. He's deaf in one ear.
Yeah. But we had a guy we worked with, and he actually built, you guys have heard of Dremel boxes before for those little Dremel tools.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
He built something similar, but what he did is he built this box and lined it with carpeting. Okay. Mounted it in his trunk, and he had a little Sentra, you know, a little tiny thing like that. He mounted it in his trunk, and he had a hole that was probably in the ballpark of 8 inches across in diameter. And about maybe 8 inches deep. And he put the kicker speaker in this box and then covered it. So when the bass hit, all that bass was funneled through that one small opening there, by physics, making it even louder. Okay?
It did.
So
it does.
Me and my roommate, we were having one of our many parties at the house. And he pulled up to the house and had that thing thumping. And I come out and I said, Rick, I said, if you pull up in my driveway one more time with that damn speaker going like that, I can't have it. Don't do it. So he got bent out of shape, didn't talk to me for a little bit. So it was about a month later, we're, you know, having another get together, and I hear boom, 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 boom. And I said, whoop, there's Rick. So Rick comes in. He's like, hey, guys, what's going on? So everybody's partying and having a good time. Well, what happens when you're drinking? You get the munchies. And Rick wanted to go out there and show somebody his speaker thing so he could be the big man, right? And I'm going,
wait a minute, that's not a euphemism in this case, is it?
No, not yet. He went out there, right, and got the thing going. So what did I do? I was munching on a bag of cheese doodles, the puffs, the cheesy poof, not the hard Cheetos, but the like cheese poof. It was the Wise brand, too, the cheap-ass Wise brand cheesy poofs. I went over there, and I dumped the hole because he had a little screen at the bottom of an 8-inch hole, right? So nothing could get in the box. I took an entire bag of cheese doodles and dumped it in that hole. Okay? So when he went to go leave, of course, he cranks his car up, and all you hear is boom, 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 boom. And as he
pulls off the flying everywhere.
Let me tell you something. The next day, I got a phone call at work. Man, was that you put those effing cheese doodles in there? I was like, as a matter of fact, it was. I had one of the other guys come tell me, and this is before cell phones and you could take a picture of things.
Right.
He said the entire trunk of that car was orange because the damn base, the force of the base not only blew Cheeto dust all over his trunk, but it actually disintegrated the cheesy poops and blew cheesy poops up.
Yeah, the imagery, because all I could think of is I bet the whole trunk actually looked like a little kid's face eating those things.
Yeah, right?
I hadn't thought about that in ages until you talked about that rat. Now I got to thinking about Rick's kicker speaker. I was like, damn, that's some funny shit.
Oh, yeah, the kicker. I had some kickers at one point, and then I went to Sarandegas. Oh, yeah, I've been there and done that.
Dave, I feel
been
you
there and done that.
I've created awkward situations when my older stepdaughter, she had a boyfriend come over when we went back and we lived in a tight subdivision. That asshole pulled up just blaring his crap.
Oh, yeah.
And I personally can't stand it. I hate that shit. I think it's ignorant to blare that crap at 2 in the morning.
You should grow
out of the entire freaking neighborhood. And I told him, I went out there and I said, hey, can you do me a favor? I said, can you not do that crap when you pull up my house? Because I don't like it and my neighbors don't like it. So, yeah, I feel you, man. I had done the same.
I hate the damn
thing. Yeah. Well, I got rid of mine after my car was – first of all, I'm lucky it was a stick shift, number one, and nobody could drive it. They were trying to steal the car, okay? That was fun. So they'd start it, right, and they would go – they would choke it because they didn't know how to drive it. So anyway – I had my box in the trunk and all. You couldn't see any of it because I had a two-door. You couldn't see anything in the trunk. All you saw was the front seat and the back seat. You didn't see and what back seat I had. But you couldn't see anything in the trunk because it was all covered up. But they'd hear me. I'd ride around. I wasn't obnoxious. I didn't play it like my neighbors were the same way. I didn't play it when I rolled into my neighborhood, and things like that. I was not a jackass with it. But I got tired after people trying to, steal my car.
Oh, yeah.
And try to get my stereo system. Well, I got smart. A buddy of mine put a kill switch underneath the cup holders where you couldn't see it. The cup holders were right by the gear shifter. And I always kept a Coke can or something in the cup holder. Nobody looked for it. I even gave my keys to a cop that said, start my car. All you hear it would go, it would turn over. It would just, grind. It would never fire. It would turn over, but it would just never fire. And I said, he goes, you got a kill switch, don't you? I go, yep. See if you can find it. This guy gave up after about 45 minutes. I went in my house. I said, you done? He goes, yeah, where's it at? And I pulled the Coke can up and pushed one of the couples in, flicked it, and fired the car up. And he goes, well, I'll be. I said, you ever tell anybody, I know who knows, and you know. But, yeah, I did that. And then, after having all that stereo stuff in the car, and my car got broken into 6 different times, and I ran down the highway in my boxers with a hockey stick and beat the fool out of kids. The first cop. There's another one. I got to sell some drugs. Give me a second. I beat the fool out of the kid, and the first cop that showed up was a female cop, and she's got her gun pulled, and I dropped the end of what was left of the hot meat stick, and I turn around, and she started laughing because she knew who I was. I went, you know what? This ain't cool, man. See, I'm going to walk back to my house, man. Started walking back to my house in my drawers, and she's laughing. She hooks the guy up. They come back to my house. I'm like, man, I'm tired of this shit. I said, I sold it all right after that, too. I said, it's gone. Done. No more.
Now, you know, you talk about people going to steal the car or rush or get going after the vehicle for the stereo system and all that. And I just had a flashback of a young Nicolas Cage. If they rush the car, save the stereo.
Right?
Girl, anyone? Valley Girl? Anybody remember that flick? Young Nicolas Cage.
For real. Man, we had so much shit. We had so much. We did so much crap, man, when we were kids. Oh.
But, you know, I mean, that was like true stuff back then. They rushed the car to save the stereo.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I remember one of the times it snowed in South Carolina as a kid in the 70s. And it was right... It was between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we had a deep freeze, and we had snow. And we heard this noise outside. I was like 8 years old, so everybody runs outside. There was a dude in a stick shift, you know, three-on-a-tree pickup, sliding and spinning all over the place. Then he hooked, then he gets smart-ass, and they were drinking, obviously. He hooked up a rope to the tailgate, and had some kind of piece of wood. It might have been a door. I don't know. They had kids on it, and he was running around the neighborhood, and they were knocking everything. They were falling off. They were knocking over mailboxes. And shit. I was like, what the hell is going on? It was crazy. And then after Hugo, several years later, after Hugo, it snowed. And what did we do? It was so bright. Because of the snow, you didn't need to turn on any light. It was like midday. And we went and called all our buddies at midnight and said, hey, we're playing football in the snow. 25 people showed up to play football in the snow at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Well, check that out. You know, the thing is, back in the day, to call 25 people, you probably only needed to make 4 phone calls because of the party lines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Back then? Oh, yeah.
We had a bagger over there at one of the stores that I managed, and this kid, he drove, I can't remember what kind of car it was. It was a 4-door little, like a Corolla-looking car, right? And all of it was primered out. He had no hubcaps. I mean, this thing was, it smelled like burnt popcorn every time you drove by. And he comes into the store one day, all excited because we had gotten our Christmas bonus. And he said, "Look out there. I got my stereo system all hooked up, man. You got to come out and listen to it." And I says, "All right, I'll listen to it after the shift. You know, just get everything done, and I'll go out there and listen to it with you. All right." So we get everything wrapped up, and he goes out there. And he goes, "Well, let me do a drive-by for you, Mr. Atwell." I said, "Okay, do a drive-by for me, you know." And funny enough, his name was Leroy. That's what made it even more epic. But he got in his car, right?
Leroy Jenkins.
That's right. It took like 3 or 4 cranks to get the damn thing to crank, but it finally cranked up, and he's in there gunning the engine, right? Well, he swoops around the parking lot, and he comes up towards the front of the building, and all I hear is, "My mind keep telling me no." And it's pretty old Kelly, right? When that bass line hit, the windows damn near vibrated out of the thing. It was making a horrible scraping sound, right? And when he drove by, I was already giggling when he drove by. But not only did he put the new sweet stereo system in his car, but he had this cool-ass, about foot-tall sticker of the Reverend Slick. You remember the wrestler? in his back window.
Oh my gosh.
That
is stupid.
Bump and grind playing. Man. In the back window.
Need a little bump and grind.
I swear to that day forward, I don't know how many times he'd come into work. But it was all I do, keep damn straight face. And here I was, the man in charge. And, you know, he'd
right.
walk by, somebody in the crowd would have to hit the, my mind keep telling me no. And I mean, just,
I got something funny. We were in the grocery store. And we were working third shift, and my best friend to this day, he still works in grocery. I don't know how he does it. But anyway, we used to have the intercom system. And if we saw a hot girl, he'd go, his code was K in the house. And I'd go, who? He'd go, Che. Who Che? So we'd go looking, right? Go looking for the hot chick. Well, one of the DJs, he goes, oh, shit. That's the dude that got mad at me because I called him Dusty Rhodes. So we're laughing. We're looking at this guy, right? He looked nothing like Dusty Rhodes, but he was a big old fat guy, and he was a smart ass. So my buddy runs to the back. I'm like, okay, I guess he's going to go finish up what he was doing. He just left me. So I went back to work. Next thing you know, he hits the intercom and goes, Rhodes, Rhodes. I was like, oh, shit. He goes, Dusty Rhodes is in the house. I went, oh, no. And then I hear the guy going, who said that? I ain't no damn Dusty Rhodes. And we were in the deli at this point. We were laying on the floor so he couldn't see us in the deli. I said, what'd you get me all up in, man? Come on now. We're supposed to be doing work. But he's like, all right. So the night manager got mad, and he was a little jackass. So one of his cars had broke down in the parking lot and had been there for 2-3 months. So one night we were off, and our thing was to sit in the parking lot and watch the store and drink in the parking lot. And we never got in trouble. The cops never bothered us. They know we worked there. You know, we did it in several different cars. Anyway, one night we were watching, and he goes, guess what? He goes, I'm tired of looking at that damn car. So it's 3 a.m, and nobody around. He goes, and we were pretty shit-faced. He goes, come on, let's grab some buggies. So we grab a bunch of buggies, and we ran as fast as we could and let go. We just started beating the hell out of the car with these buggies. And the guy goes, hey, man, the next night somebody hit my car. We went, really? He goes, come check it out.
No.
Dude, we were laughing so freaking hard. My car's all damaged. He goes, I said, that car don't even run, man.
Yeah. I got the car story work people afterwards, that thing. The old grocery store thing, kid growing up, whatnot.
Right.
We had the old gravel parking lot in the back. And one of the workmates, she had one of those old Mustang 2s. And she was going to be getting out one of the earlier releases. And we had some folks that were going to be late, and she was parked between two cars. But they were, with the gravel parking lot, you don't have the lines and all that kind of stuff in the back for the staff.
Right.
And there was a gap. So we all turned the car sideways, so it was so tight. There was, like, just, you wouldn't have been able to maneuver it. You could get into it and all that, but there would have been no way to maneuver it out of between those two cars.
Thought,
so she had
right.
to come back in and figure that out. She's like, I didn't leave my car like that. I didn't park it like that. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Denise. You know I did it. As part of it. Yeah, we, you know, that was one of the silly things. But that, you know, that's something you touch on there, and this kind of tangent on that. You know, it used to be okay for a team leaving work. We probably shared more beers than we probably should have or whatever at the time.
Oh, yeah, we did,
but,
too.
You know, everybody
too.
Would have a few. And I'm not saying we were going crazy. It's not like we had, you know, a case per person or any crap. The,
right.
The whole everybody have a beer after work together in the parking lot routine, and then everybody
shoot,
you know, to the real life away from work. That used to be a thing. I think a lot of that used to be a bit of a camaraderie thing.
Until one of your coworkers has the manager's keys while we're outside drinking a beer after work, and the manager walks up and goes, "I know what y'all are doing. I just need my keys," and we all look in the back seat at the jackass holding the keys. Well, I'm gonna kick your ass as soon as you give them keys to that manager.
Wow.
They actually had a stock tour at one of the stores, and I won't name the company, but it's the company that I manage for. Not quite Kroger. It's got some food and a certain feline, but they had all gotten off of work. The stock crew did, and it was a nice night. It was, you know, a nice breezy evening and everything. And they said, "Well, damn, dude, let's go up on the roof hatch." And they got up there, crawled up there on the roof, and started having a couple beers. Well, the wind picked up, and shabam,
knocked the hatch.
And they had to spend the night on the damn roof until the store manager came in. And of course, the store manager was one of those guys that he was the no risk guy. If he said we had 98 hours in a department, use 98 hours. And he wasn't about to climb that damn 40-foot ladder, or it was probably close to 30.
To open the
hatch. And, God, funny. I mean, because I remember getting the call, and they said, "Hey, you know anything about roof hatches?" And I said, "I know they're way the hell up there." And they said, "Yeah, do you think you could jump out there and open it up?" And I said, "No, I can't." They said, "Why not?" I said, "Because I don't want to die." Because they had those ladders inside the compressor room, so if you fell off the thing,
you're done.
Yeah, you were gonna fall on a compressor and you was toast.
Yep.
So, but funny.
That was kind of funny. That's like having the hand air in the bathroom. When you dry your hands, your hands are wet. You stick your hand under there to get them blow dried, but there's a socket underneath there, so it's the same shit.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah. But, Todd had a point, though. They talk about all this team-building stuff where they take everybody out and, hey, we have to go eat together, and then we have to have a campfire together, and everybody tell a ghost story together. Hey, the grabbing two cases of beer, or maybe just sometimes a case, and everybody, it wouldn't just be the stock crew. It would be the stockers.
Yeah.
It would be the frozen food guy. It would be the closing office girl, the bagger, the closing manager, and everybody would be out there cutting an ass, just shooting the breeze. And then eventually we'd all go, "Well, guys, we need to get to the house because we got to get up in the morning." And nobody got hurt. Nobody got locked up. Everything just – and it was funny how the workplace was so much more
relaxed.
Yeah. I mean, everybody – and the funny thing was that everybody worked harder because we wanted to get out the parking lot and bullshit.
Right. Oh,
so there wasn't one of this. Yeah, nobody sandbagged. Nobody dragged their ass. Everybody got in there and had a common goal of getting it done as quick as possible so we can go outside and have a beer. And
we had Christmas parties. Every year we had a Christmas party at a different place, and they picked the Korean place to the store, and they had a big facility, and we were having our Christmas whole store Christmas dinner at this place. Well, the owner, he likes to have a little too much sake and other stuff, so he was getting drunk and he starts singing. He plays music and he thinks he's Frank Sinatra and he's singing, and it's hilarious, right? Well, he starts asking people at the table, "Oh, you like your boss?" "Oh, he said he no like the boss." And he's going around, right? And he's getting more and more shit-faced, right? Well, me and my buddy Greg, my best friend, he goes, "Hey, we got to get out of here. This is going to turn ugly. And you know us, and he knows, the boss knows us too. You know we're going to make fun and clown his ass." I said, "Oh, I know. That's why I want to stay." He goes, "All right." Wasn't even 10 minutes later. Comes out of nowhere. with the microphone singing again. He goes, you got nicknamed for Boss? Well, you called the Boss. And, you know, none of us said anything. He had the microphone between me and my friend Greg, and my friend Greg was about to say something, but he turned his head the other way. He goes, oh, you call him Mr. Motherfucker? Hey, they call you Mr. Motherfucker. I was like, oh, no, we did it. No, we did it. So we're trying not to laugh, but we're laughing. And the man stopped eating. The wife gets up from the table and walks away. I was like, oh. And he walks, the owner of the place walks right up to him, and this guy's bald, shiny, bald head. Shiny. Looked like he was spit shined. That son of a bitch turned so red. I thought that it was like a pimple about to pop, man. I was like, oh, shit. So the owner walks by me and goes, oh, what you call them? Lazy ass, no good stock crew. I said, oh, shit, here we go. He goes, you miss a motherfucker, you lazy ass. You miss a motherfucker, you lazy ass. I was like, oh, no. He's like, all right, can we end this, please? Can we please end this? And then the guy, the store manager, he's laughing, ha, 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 because the wife walked away. He's like, ha, 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 to get it all finished and said and done. Boy, I tell you what, the next, about 2 days later, we saw the manager of the store. He's like, I know y'all didn't start that, but you did not help me stop that. I said, not my job. I don't get paid in somebody else's business to stop shit.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Dude, you had Steve McQueen as a host. He was shaking the tree,
man.
Boss. Shaking the tree.
That's right. I'm going to get time for that shit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's Paul Newman. Paul Newman, right?
Paul Newman, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's some great stuff. We had so many. But go ahead. Whoever's up, go ahead.
No, what about this Sean Connery stuff, man? What a blast this week. Not to take it down a notch, but, man.
We can't get out of 2020 quick enough, brother.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yep.
Top three flicks with Sean Connery. Dave, go.
Oh, Jesus. I've got to throw Highlander. I've got to throw Untouchables, even though it's very, very incorrect historically.
Right.
And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't put in Henry Jones playing Indy's dad. It was perfect.
Okay, yes. I'm going to throw it. I can't remember the name of the movie where he was the writer's influence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, not Jason's lyric.
God, I thought that was a good flick. I can't remember the name of it, but I thought that was really good. I loved him as Marco Ramirez, Hunt for Red October.
Yes. Yep.
Dang it. Took one of mine.
Yes. Again,
I said, dang it, Todd. He took one of mine.
Okay. I love that. And of course, you know, I mean, let's face it, he probably made the most impact as Bond across the board, him and Roger Moore. It's not like he didn't do a lot of other stuff. He was doing this. God, he was in a movie based on a Kipling book that was really good, too. I mean, just stuff he's done. People forget he did quite a bit of stuff aside from Bond. All right, others, who else we got for movie picks for Connery, guys?
Goldfinger, and Goldfinger.
I'm going to say, wasn't the name of the movie, was it called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, where they dressed up as bears or some crap like that?
No, Midnight in the Garden of Evil, Good and Evil was Kevin Spacey and, it was John Cusack.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a Sean Connery movie. It was weird. I never got to see the whole thing, but it was interesting as hell. And it was, there were a bunch of different people dressing up as bears. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Well, no, but I could Google the shit out of it.
he was the bad guy. there's that. I like The Rock. It's not, I don't know, it's just what's coming to my head. And then obviously, I'm surprised nobody mentioned the series of Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones, come on.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I like
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. The third one.
Yep.
Yep. He was so good. That bit that he did.
Dr. John, you want to hear mine?
Go.
Darby O'Gill and the Little People, because he sang a song in there, and he rarely sang.
Okay.
And then for the Bond movies, I'd say Thunderball was my favorite. And then it would be the Avengers with him and Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman when he was the villain in the movie. It'd be my three also.
Ooh.
Come on,
look
at you.
Good one. Very good one.
See, now
and
think
the
about
league,
this.
And the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. What a great film.
Listen to this.
Why, thank
group.
You. That's us on this podcast.
Todd. Or Boone.
The
Avengers.
I like it.
The Avengers is the one you're looking for. That was the name of the movie, The Avengers, out in 1998. And, of course, the guy
1997.
Yeah, the guy in the FBI van out in front of my house right now is going, why is he Googling Sean Connery movie where people dress up like bears?
Right?
You're right. I didn't think about that. I just liked it because he was at the end of the movie.
Well, I'll be going to Sean Connery. If the FBI is going to be looking at my phone, I might as well go ahead and start looking at porn. Got nothing else to do.
Why? I hate to say it. As soon as David said he was looking at, or as Velvet said he was looking at midget porn, all I could think of is it's going to be midget porn. I don't know why. I just see that coming.
Because I'm short. Because I'm 5'3¼". I'm short. Of course, I'm looking at midget porn. Hey, listen. I'm not a midget, and I'm not a dwarf. I'm a fidget. Okay. Get it right.
Oh, God.
Fidget.
Got me. The little rascals.
Like a
The fidgets.
Right.
Hey,
that's
Finding
me.
Forrester is the movie you were talking about, Todd.
Say again?
Finding Forrester?
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
I thought that was a great movie.
Yeah, that was a good flick. 1000 when that come out. 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb. Had Anna Paquin, Rob Brown, F. Murray Abraham, one of my favorites from Scarface. Busta Rhymes was in it.
Busta
wow.
Rhymes, yo.
Busta Rhymes.
No, there
Busta Rhymes
so many...
was in Halloween.
Look, guys, there's, you know, Connery, I mean, the first, I think our general thoughts default to Bond, but
yeah,
he did a ton of crap over the decades.
Well,
yeah,
he did a lot of Broadway type stuff too, and one man shows. He did all kind of stuff. He was great. He was freaking awesome.
I tell you what, the magic between him and Moneypenny back in the day, that kind of set the standard for that whole mess.
I'm going out to get some stuff out of my car real quick because I got more room in here now.
Hey
guys, one at a time. We can't hear all five of you at the same time.
Malcolm said he had women stashed in his car.
No.
FBI, if you're listening, Malcolm has women stashed in the trunk of his car.
My mind keeps telling me no.
That's what's playing in the trunk of the car with
him. Dr. John, I was telling Adam that I have to get some stuff out of my car after the show's over.
No, that's not what you said.
That's
yeah, you got to get some stuff out of the car so they can breathe. You got the feed hose every once in a while, you know.
Something
Kick out the tail light out of the trunk. I hate to hear about this one.
You guys are great. I need to do so bad tonight. I've been miserable all day. I've laughed my ass off all night,
man.
I appreciate it.
I'm here to please, baby. I'm here to please.
My God, it's been good news.
My PayPal is. If you like to show my PayPal is.
I have no money.
Right? It's okay. I'm sure one of Malcolm's hoes will dignify you with a reach around. It's all good.
Oh, boy. Hey, Velvet, just a reminder,
yeah.
Harder, faster is not a good safe word.
Oh, my bad. I have to remember that.
Dave, thank you for the assist. You're right. I looked it up. Avengers, that is right. That's exactly it.
And I hope you didn't Google Sean Connery movie where people dressed up like bears, because some FBI guy probably thinks I'm a furry right now.
Well, you know, I'm looking at midget porn, so.
Are they midget bears?
Midget bears. I'm still at it. Yeah. Good times.
They're still at it.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Buzzy Wuzzy did what? Where?
Holy crap.
That gives a new meaning to Dr. Seuss, but that's not Dr. Seuss. That's Dr.
Real quick,
Seuss.
Before we run out of time, I got to tell you guys what I told my wife. She went out of town to go see the grandkids yesterday, right? And she left cash money sitting on the counter, right? And she says, hey, I'm leaving some cash here if you guys need it. And I says, all right, thanks, because I normally don't have any cash on me.
Right.
I says, oh, okay, cool, thanks. So I took the money, I held it up, I looked at Robin, I says, hey, man, as soon as your mother goes, we got money for some hoes, right? And she says, all right, now that's enough. And I says, yeah, I can see me pulling up to a hooker. And I go, hey, how much for a hand job? And she says, $20. And I go, oh, all right, thanks. And I start walking away, and she says, well, baby, don't you want some help? And I says, no, I was just curious how much money I saved by doing it myself.
I like it.
I have to remember that.
I'm a millionaire.
Right?
Yeah, Bill Gates, yeah.
Oh, my God. That gives a new meaning. That gives a new meaning to a five-finger discount.
Yeah.
Wow. Yikes.
Sure,
hey, we better laugh it up now. Hey, you better laugh it up now before we're talking to each other. Ruski? Ruski?
Yeah. They tell you who you're going to get a hand job from.
Yes. My name is Natasha. My name is Natasha.
You have a good time, yeah.
I've been cutting wood all day.
We're
going to be holding the mirror out of the cell freaking bars to try to talk to each other and look at one another before long.
Listen, if we're lucky, we might end up like Epstein.
Oh, yeah. I ain't pleased with Clinton.
And on that note, Dr. John has to say, it's time to go, but we'll be back next week.
Yay.
Are you sure?
We might be canceled next week.
Hey, goodbye, John. Thank you. Velvet, thank you. Dave Atwell, thank you. Tim, thank you. And Malcolm, thanks. No thanks to me.
You're welcome.
You guys be good and take care.
All right. Good
all
night.
Good
have
night.
A good night, everyone. And just for the record, midget porn is trending.
Ha 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 ha!